Everyone, and welcome to episode 45 of season 9 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the horrendous last two movies of the Die Hard series, Die Hard 4.0, and A Good Day to Die Hard, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and going through a little more agony with me for another 5 minutes is Travis Bowe of Minute of Thieves. Welcome back, Travis. I'm glad that even after yesterday, you decided to come back today.
Yeah, glad to be here. It's always fun to talk with you, Rob.
I appreciate that. Even when we're talking about something that is...
That's right. So bad.
But again, we just did try and find a few, bright spots to talk about yesterday.
Yeah, there's mostly some explosions. Good stuff here.
Yeah. Mostly explosions, but yeah.
Mostly explosions, yeah.
All right, so episode 45 begins with more cargo falling out of the sky and ends with sunrise in Chernobyl. So we left things off yesterday with, John dangling from the door of a truck that's connected to a helicopter.
That's spinning wildly out of control.
That's right. And... and Jack confronting Yuri, and Yuri tried to get the last words in, and basically said to Jack right at the end of yesterday. He goes, "Well done, Mr. Super Spy," and in his best James Bond villain voice. And today he continues after we see things falling from the truck, but we're not really sure exactly what's falling. When I was doing research for this, I actually thought for a second the truck fell, and I was like, okay, that would be really interesting that John jumped from the truck, but whatever, we'll get there. But at this point, it's just more uranium in boxes that are
just harmless uranium.
Yeah, of course. Well, come on, they sprayed the pixie dust around so that there's no radiation in Chernobyl at all.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Oh, I meant to look up. I just saw a news article. I saw a headline that says there's some kind of fungus now that they've been finding in Chernobyl that eats radiation. So cool. Life is finding a way, and maybe Chernobyl will be, habitable in 50 years.
Wow. Is that possible that, the Yuri knew about this?
I'm sure that was his whole plan. Let's get the harmful uranium out of there so that the fungus can keep eating the rest of the bad stuff. Yeah.
Hey, again,
he's a humanitarian.
You've got your next, you can start writing a script for that.
Yeah, sure. There you
go. Why not? Just, you probably shouldn't use the same phrase, life is finding a way.
Right. Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum might have a little bit of problem with that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because Michael Crichton and Richard Attenborough aren't going to come after you. that you don't have to worry about at this point.
Yeah.
So the truck is dangling. Something falls really, really fast onto the ground. Again, like I said, I thought it was John at first, but it's not. And then Yuri says to Jack, he goes, "What a shame, your father won't be alive to see you promoted." And then he starts laughing at him, laughing like a maniacal laugh, the whole thing. It's pretty interesting that Yuri is completely convinced that Jack is now going to take him in.
Yeah.
It's like, where do you get that? I guess it's a McClane trait that everyone misses. The idea what John said to Tony, all the way back in Die Hard 1, when Tony goes, "You're a policeman, you won't hurt me," and he goes, "You have to follow the rules," and he goes, "Yeah, that's what my captain keeps telling me." So maybe maybe little Jack learned that from his father, that there are rules, but. You're a McClane.
But like in this case, he should throw cuffs on him and drag him in. Like it is a little bit, like with Hans in the first one, like he, the only reason he really falls off a building in that instance is because John is trying to save Holly, you know.
Right.
They get rid of the watch that he's holding on to. So it's not like he's maliciously killing Hans, you know, if that makes sense. Here, right. You know, Jack just like spins him around and chucks him off a roof. It's That's it's
right. And, complete... and he says at the same time, neither will you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just great. It's not something that you really, really would expect to happen here. And yeah. I find it interesting. This is the first time that that John isn't the one responsible yeah. for the death of the main villain.
Well, and it seems like, you know, it seems like what they're doing is if you follow that whole passing the baton sort of idea, okay, we're setting up a family that Jack can now, you know, have a vendetta against. And so in Die Hard 8, it's going to be the daughter that comes back for revenge.
No.
But then we make a stupid daughter. Then we make a stupid decision and we just kill the daughter for you know, well, no reason. We'll get there. Exactly. But yeah, that's what I thought was happening when they set up this obvious homage to Die Hard by throwing Yuri off the roof. I thought, okay, we're giving Jack his own nemesis, you know, his own.
This is Jack's Hans Gruber.
Right.
But I got to tell you, the way that Yuri falls,
yeah,
the way that Jack throws him off the roof is much more, it's much cooler to watch than with Hans. Because Hans is the idea that, okay, I'm just going to unbuckle, you know, the watch yeah. band. But here he basically lifts him up and throws him.
Right, yeah.
Know? And you see him, you know, his hands, his arms out.
Yeah.
You know,
the difference between being thrown off a roof and falling. And just, that's right. You know.
That's right. And, you know, you can see the shock and fear on his face.
Yeah.
He's in slow motion. Falling down, you know. Again, the slow motion of Hans is much better than this one, but you know, you still get the idea of the whole thing. And then they yeah. have the regular, you know, movie shot of, you know, of Jack just standing there watching it, and the, you know, the camera like pans and like spins sort of like around him as it's going. You know, as he's falling, they do an amazing job, and you only see it for a split second. You know, the blades of the chopper
yeah.
are what actually kill Yuri. So I guess you can theoretically say that it's not Jack who killed him. It's
right. It's sure. Because actually, like, they probably weren't up high enough for the fall to kill him.
Well, again, Jack is going to jump. So I don't know. We'll have to wait.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he just gets, you know, completely splattered
yeah
by that. And again, it's done well, but they only give us like a second to see it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking away, you're gonna miss it.
Yeah,
you know,
I am curious how Irina knows, like, because she lets out a scream.
That's right.
But like, she wouldn't have a clue what's happening at the tail rotor of this helicopter.
Yeah, maybe, but she's looking in the rear view mirror.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, she's a good driver. She knows how to use her side mirrors and her rear view mirror and all that. Yeah, I don't know. Again, it's another very strange decision that they made here. Allowing this to happen this way. And we still see John doing his acrobatics, hanging on. And then he screams and he goes, "Hey, Jack."
Hey, Jack, look at me. Goes,
"Hang on, John."
Yeah.
And you know, the you know, then Jack just starts running to try to catch him, you know, somewhere along the way. It's just very funny because it looks like Jack is trying to get underneath him at some point so that he can catch him, but
yeah,
instead, you know, John gets acrobatically thrown, you know, from the truck and uses his momentum to go flying into the window. And crash through the window, which, again, it's really cool to watch, but totally unbelievable And yeah. You know, what's a little broken glass for John McClane?
Sure. Yeah.
That you know, you can't really blame him for anything about that. And then you know, she starts screaming, and the way that the helicopter hits the building, it somehow releases the truck, and the truck slams and completely explodes. Again, a very cool explosion. Nice pyrotechnics. Sure. You'd think that with that much uranium, it would probably explode even more, but okay.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the properties of uranium are. I don't know that it's flammable or combustible.
It's a nuclear weapon that they say is, they talked about the fact that it's weapons grade. So
yeah, I just don't know how it, you know, reacts to, you know,
not well.
this situation, because I just assume this is more of a gasoline, you know, explosion, a standard sort of, you know.
You meaning it's not armed, so therefore it's just going to explode.
I think it's just
okay.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I think that explosion is relatively harmless in terms of nuclear material. You know.
Okay. Well, in this movie, you know, they have their magic dust, so the magic dust is probably still in the air there. So regardless. Yeah. You know, you're not gonna have to worry about. She starts screaming a little more.
Yeah, a little manic.
Yeah, and then you know, the helicopter comes around for another shot, and then Jack busts open the door on the you know, during the fire that's going on inside, and he starts screaming, John, and he goes, come on, and then he finds him, and he's able to get him out of the way. Before everything falls off, you know, before the ceiling starts collapsing on them. And then we're back in the helicopter itself, and the pilot says to Irina, we're out of ammunition. And then she screams, bastards. And then the pilot goes, what the hell are you doing? And she goes, this is for you, Papa. And she starts aiming the helicopter, you know, in the direction of where they are.
Yeah.
And again, it makes absolutely no sense why she has decided that she wants to go commit suicide.
Right.
But, you know, it gives us an opportunity to see John and Jack, you know, running in slow motion, trying to get out of the way, trying to figure out what's going on. They see that, you know, she's about to hit the building itself. So the two of them basically just jump out the window. And, you know, we can even see, you know, a shot of her looking at them as, you know, as the helicopter's about to hit the building, but the two of them are flying outside of the building.
Did you ever watch Umbrella Academy?
I might have seen an episode or two.
Okay. It ended up becoming a meme where two characters who hadn't seen each other in, you know, whatever, decades or something, see each other. I think it's in the season 2 premiere, I think. But they see each other, and so we get their perspective. It's you know, Elliot Page's character, and I forget the kid's character. His name's Five, I think. But they see each other. So we get, you know, Elliot's reaction, and we get the kid's reaction as they just see each other pass by. Like, they're both in different cars. And so it's a very, like, a fairly common meme of just two things passing in the night, or just two missed connections or missed opportunities. It's very much that's what I thought about here, where they're jumping out of this, you know, window, and she does look back at them, you know, and it's just a very, like, oh, you missed us. It's so stupid. I think it would work if they set this, like, just have them on the roof, and then maybe instead of going for a suicide move, she pitches the helicopter forward and is intending to chop them up, kind of chase them down with the helicopter blades, and intend to just chop them up. Like, that would be believable, but the idea here of her, I guess, just being like, well, I don't have anything to live for because my dad died. Like,
and I've lost all the uranium. So,
I just, you're in a helicopter that is now seemingly, you know, fine to fly, like, fly away. You know, I don't know. It's, yeah, this, it was dumb.
Yeah, completely. So, yeah, it makes no sense why she decided to commit suicide here.
You know, just rewrite the characters and make her Yuri's lover instead of his daughter, and then make it that they were in love. I mean, I guess a kid could have so much love for their parent that they'd want to commit suicide. Yeah, I don't know. I think I would believe it more if they were lovers, you know.
Right. Well, again, they did give us that creepy moment last Friday, you know, where the two of them meet up, you know, they hug each other, and the look is just it's a little too incestual.
Okay.
The look that they have between the two of them, and again, as you said, it would have been so much easier just to make it that she's his lover and that's it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. But again, I mean, most of this plot makes no sense. You know, the idea that she's going to pretend that she's on Shigaran's side.
Yeah.
And Shigaran and his men are going to be beating up Yuri, mm-hmm. and, you know, and threatening to kill him. And,
yeah,
you know, there's
yeah.
the potential that they could kill him, you know, in order to be able to get this MacGuffin file, you know, and they're going to go from Moscow to the Ukraine. I mean, I looked up do you know how long a drive it is from Moscow to Chernobyl?
No.
It's like 24 hours. Okay.
Really?
And you have to go, you have to go in between countries.
Okay. So,
like, I don't really know how John and Jack actually made it across the border.
Right.
Especially, again, it makes no sense. There's, you know, the more you try and think about this movie, the more you realize it makes less and less sense.
Right.
So basically Jack and John are flying in the air as the helicopter smashes into the building. She's still looking back at them as, you know, there's still a flame on the ground from the truck, and the two of them in slow motion are flying down, you know, probably going to land in, you know, on the ground somehow, but they end up crashing through, you know, like two floors of glass.
Yeah.
Which again makes no sense whatsoever that they're not going to be completely cut up. I mean, I always remember the scene. Have you ever seen the movie The Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
I don't think I did. I know of it, but I didn't. I never saw it.
Okay, it's with Rebecca De Mornay. And at one point, she sets a trap for somebody in a greenhouse where the glass windows at the top are going to shatter, and they basically impale her. You know, she kills Juliana Moore that way. Sorry for the spoilers for anybody, you know, who hasn't seen that movie. But I mean, again, glass shards that are coming down on you like that can definitely do a lot more damage than what happens to John and Jack here, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, come on, we saw John, you know, five movies ago running across glass and getting a little bit of glass in his foot and, you know, bitching and complaining about it. But here he can, you know, crash through glass and land in water that's now going to be filled with glass also. And yeah, hey, we're fine, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. And then the helicopter itself just lands and explodes almost in the exact same spot that the truck landed in. You know, why not? Let's just add more fire to the flame.
Sure.
Yeah, for the whole thing. Yeah, why not? And I mean, the helicopter just breaks into many little pieces. You see the rotor blades go all over the place. You see,
it's a really well done, really cool looking helicopter explosion.
Yes, I would agree. There's
one shot where they kind of, you know, it's not a long distance shot or whatever, but they back up and you see the statue of Lenin and this helicopter blade coming right at him. I really thought they would go for the, you know, I thought like an obvious thing of just having like Lenin's head get chopped off by this helicopter blade, but it doesn't.
I think that might have been a little too political for them to do it.
Probably.
Yeah. So I'm not sure, but again, it is. I do agree. It is a great explosion the way that they do that. And you know, on the back end of Irina, you know, doing something really, really great for her dad, you know, we see Jack emerge first from this pond, wherever it actually came from. It's very weird. I don't know if they're in a pond or in a pool.
I think it's a pool. It's tiled. You know, it's. I think they're inside the building still. because they fell through the roof.
Very unclear. Exactly. It's very unclear. Like, I get, yeah, okay. It does look like they're in a pool there.
Yeah.
And he starts screaming, John, John, John. And we get a long time.
Yeah. You
know, they spend a little too much time having Jack seek out John. You know, and then he screams, John, and he goes, Dad. And at that point, you know, John says to himself, hey, now I can actually respond.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're playing a game with somebody and you only respond if they call you properly. You know, so you're just waiting, you know.
Right.
And then finally he goes, Dad. He goes, okay, yeah, I'm here. And John goes, yeah, right here. So, yeah.
I like the moment, you know, the two characters. I love the moment
because it's every one of John's family besides John, they refuse to be called McLeans. They're always Gennaros.
Yeah.
Until John finds a way to save them. And then little by little, they start, using their or admitting that their last name is McLean.
Yeah. Do they establish that in this movie that he doesn't go by? Okay.
He went deep undercover in Russia as Jack Gennaro.
Okay.
because no one's going to figure that one out.
Yeah. Right.
So he's a Gennaro. Not anymore at this point in the movie, but up until now, he's a Gennaro. And, John then, makes it out of the pool himself. It's funny because Jack's in the pool screaming, John, 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 Dad. And John's already out.
Right. So does that mean Jack took a while to, I don't know, regain consciousness and get, I don't know. John got out of the water really fast.
Yes. And they have the flames all around this little pool. And, John gives him a little hand helping him out of the pool.
Yeah.
And Jack is completely out of breath. We see he's got some cuts on his face or whatever it is. And, as John is getting ready to get up, he goes, did you just call me Dad? And he goes, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because you're hearing things,
right? You got swimmer's ear.
You got swimmer's ear.
Yeah.
Did you have any idea what swimmer's ear is?
Yeah. You get water trapped in your ear, I think, and it just throws off your. I don't know.
It's basically the inflammation of the ear canal.
Okay. I've had it. I've known friends with kids who've had it. It's.
Right. I mean, they claim that you get it mostly if you're swimming in polluted water. That's a common way to contract it. But you can get it, if you get water trapped in your ear canal after a shower sometimes.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that when I was starting to look up about this, it says right at the beginning, not to be confused with surfer's ear.
Oh.
Okay. Do you have any, have you ever heard that term before?
I don't think so. What's the difference?
So I said, okay, I'm gonna go look up what surfer's ear. And what's the first thing it says in surfer's ear? Surfer's ear?
Sea swimmer's ear?
No, not to be confused with swimmer's ear.
Okay.
And apparently it is a common name for a extotosis or abnormal bone growth within the ear canal.
Okay.
And apparently this is something that happens to surfers. The condition is so named due to its high prevalence among cold water surfers, although it can occur in any water temperature due to the evaporating cooling caused by wind and the presence of water in the ear canal.
Hmm.
So it they get bone growths in their ears. It's pretty strange. It's irritation from cold wind and water exposure causes the bone surrounding the ear canal to develop lumps of new bony growth, which constrict the ear canal.
Huh.
And it says the ear canal can actually get blocked by this condition with also water and wax that can trap inside, and that could lead to an infection. I mean, I'd never heard this. I've never gone surfing, but I've never heard of this type of thing before. There have been a lot of studies done to try to find out, what percentage of surfers get it. And the average is anywhere between 31% and 80%, which basically tells you that none of this works. That doesn't make a difference. You know, that's not really telling us anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's one study that surveyed 105 surfers, and they came up with 63.8% had surfer zero. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah. But so, you know, apparently Jack and John are familiar with these phrases, and that's why they throw them up. And then the two of them, you know, eventually just get up and start, you know, walking, because, you know, everything's done. You don't have to worry about the bad guys anymore. You know, Yuri's minced meat and Irina's gone in a ball of fire. You know, and they show the two of them just like walking through the damage of everything that's going on. And John then says to him, "We're not going to grow any third arms or anything, are we?" "No, but you might lose your hair." He goes, "Laugh it up, kid. This is you in 5 years from now." He goes, "It's rainwater. You'll be fine. Besides, it's hard to kill a McLean." So, first of all, he says it's rainwater. We just established they're in a swimming pool. Why would the swimming pool be filled with rain? Well, actually, it's Chernobyl. It's Chernobyl, so it must have. But wait a second. Wasn't it covered by glass?
Like, but I'm sure there were holes. You know, over time, the window seals around those panes of glass would give way. So some of those panels would be open to rainwater.
Okay. But again, it's still a little strange.
Well, yeah.
So he says, "Besides, it's hard to kill a McLean." And that's when John says to him, he goes, "Now you're a McLean?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm a McLean. John McLean." He goes, "John McLean Jr.? Well, that makes you a senior." He goes, "That's right. Try not to forget it. I'm your father. Have some respect for your father." And the two of them continue their family bonding hour, because again, no one else is around there.
Yeah.
And then Jack says to John, he goes, "Let me ask you something. Do you go looking for trouble, or does it always just seem to find you?" John looks at him and goes, "You know, after all these years, I still ask myself that same question."
It's a good line.
It's a good line. Yeah. Yeah. And it leaves things very ambiguous. You know, it tells us, you know, what does John McLean think about this? And he doesn't really know the answer. You know, is he meant to be the person who's there to save the world each time? I don't know.
Yeah.
And with that comment by John, we once again have thankfully finished another 5 minutes of this movie. Did you have anything else you wanted to discuss about this segment, Travis?
Just a little bit. The track, the score that's playing, the title of this piece of the score is called, it quotes, you know, Jack here. It's called "It's Hard to Kill a McLean." And that music starts playing. And I was like, I've heard those notes before. I've heard that, you know, track somewhere before. And I thought maybe this is, you know, Marco Beltrami, like maybe he's using music from something else. But I was like, I can hear it, you know, I can picture it in my head. Like, I've heard this song or this music before. And so after a few minutes of kind of like trying to think of where this tune comes from, you know, then I could hear in my head, like, words to go along with the melody. I figured out, and it's just like the same tune as "When It's Over" by Sugar Ray.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really strange. But if you listen to both of them kind of side by side, you know, I don't know if Marco Beltrami is a fan of Sugar Ray. I don't know if it's an unintentional sort of thing where he just happened to put some of the same notes together. If, you know, I don't know. It could be intentional or it can be complete coincidence. I'm not really sure, but yeah, it was a weird, like, oh yeah, you know, because, yeah, I don't know, just didn't expect it to go there. So,
okay, all right, that's fair. And I mean, I neglected to mention again the final shot of this segment shows sunrise. You know, you see like a plume of black smoke, you know, billowing outside of this area of Chernobyl, where there are some lights on, which again makes you wonder who, you know, maybe those must have been what Irina brought with her or something like that.
Yeah, they may have. I can't remember if they had this location, like, have they been doing work here, previous to this? Maybe they brought in generators and.
Maybe. Yeah. Again, it doesn't matter. It's not that important. And we see the sunrise, and it's actually it's a very cool shot. You know, I like the way that the sun is behind the billowing smoke. So it gives us some cool stuff there too.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we have a game called State Your Motto, and today your state will be Mississippi.
Okay.
Okay, so your three choices are A, by valor and arms, B, our liberties we prize and our rights we will maintain, or C, by the sword we seek peace, but only peace under liberty.
Huh. I'm going to go A.
By valor and arms. And Travis, you got it once again.
Nice.
Excellent.
The other two sounded more original 13 colonies, kind of.
Only one of them is actually an original 13 colony.
Okay. Yeah,
the other one's a state that's closer to you, but I'll let you wait and find out what they are.
All right.
All right. So once again, we will play Die Hard trivia.
Awesome.
We'll ask five Die Hard questions for you. So let's spin the wheel and see what question you get, and you know whether it's from one of the movies that you actually that most people are more familiar with.
Yeah.
Okay, you got another Die Hard 4 question.
Okay,
what action figure causes Matt's apartment to blow up?
Oh, shit. I feel like it's like Darth Vader. Oh, no. As soon as you say it, I'm going to recall it, but so I'll say Darth Vader. But
it's a Terminator.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was like a Marvel character, but yeah, now I can recall. I can see the Terminator figure.
Wow, you got another Die Hard 4 question.
Oh, great.
Okay, in Die Hard 4, what building do Gabriel and his men virtually destroy?
It's either the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, or the White House. I'm thinking the Capitol building because, like, you don't want to copy Independence Day, so I'll say Capitol building.
And you are correct.
Okay.
Nicely done.
My initial thought was the White House, but then, yeah. Nice.
Well, it's a good thing you went the other way.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, let's spin the wheel again for question number three from Die Hard 2.
Nice.
All right, what famous actor plays the pilot of Windsor 114?
And that's the flight that is coming in from the UK.
It crashed.
Oh, right. Okay. I can't recall who the pilot is.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. He's a Star Trek actor.
Is it James Cromwell?
No.
No? Okay. Yeah.
The British
Star Trek actor?
Yes.
Jeez.
Both in Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
Rene Auberjonois?
No.
I don't know then.
It's Colm Meaney.
Oh, of course. Okay.
All right, let's spin the wheel again. Okay, this one is from Die Hard 3.
Awesome.
Okay, what's the name of the helpful truck driver?
I think it's Jerry. Yeah, I'm going to go Jerry.
And you would be correct.
All right.
Excellent. Nicely done. All right, and now we will go for your final question. Spin your wheel once again. You're going Die Hard 1, Die Hard 1, Die Hard 1.
Yeah.
Oh, it just moved over to Die Hard 2.
Okay.
It just missed it. It was about to stop. The wheel was about to stop on Die Hard 1 and just moved over. So in Die Hard 2, who plays Captain Lorenzo's brother?
Jeez. Oh, okay. So Lorenzo is Dennis Franz, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his brother, what is his name? He voices Bullock on Batman the Animated Series. Paul Costanzo?
That's right.
Something.
Very good.
What's his
Robert
first name?
Costanzo. Robert.
Okay.
Yes. Excellent. That's great. You did very well there. Thank you very much for playing. That
yeah.
was nice. All right. Excellent. So, Travis, would you like to, for one final time this season, tell people where they can find Travis Bowe?
Sure. I'm over on Minute of Thieves, and I'm also doing Real Comic Heroes, talking about comic book movies. So check me out on either location.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Travis, thank you very much again for joining me.
Thank you.
This was much more fun talking about it than actually watching.
That's so, the case sometimes.
That is correct. Especially when there are movies that you have to do because of the, you know, the movies by minute rules.
That's right. The harsh mandates that our oppressors enforce.
Jim is an oppressor when it comes to this. You gotta follow through and do all the movies in the series.
There you go.
All right. So I will be back tomorrow for the penultimate episode of this season. But until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me, it ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one.